Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dale Durkholz of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dale.
Good afternoon, Ted.
Let's talk about the corn market just a bit. A pretty good rally over the last couple of days in the market. Dave Dickey and I looking back at the lead option chart for corn just before I came on the air, noticing that it looks like since January we've been running 7-week bottoms in this marketplace.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the corn market realistically on a long-term basis, you know, you have a 20 and a 40-week cycle pattern that tends to play out in there. And then when you break that 20-week down, you break it down sometimes into a 10, as you'll find those dominate. Sometimes it shifts gears a little bit, and it'll work 3-7s and a 20. And that really looks like what we're playing with this year. And, yeah, as you noticed, you know, we're right on target here with the 7-week pattern.
And what does that tell you about the upside potential?
Well, considering that the bottom came out last week, it just says it's a short term here at this point. Given the market action we've had since we put that low in, is certainly indicated in a very dynamic way that the 7-week cycle is pointed higher. Of more encouragement at this point, December contract in particular right now is closed up over its 50% retracement mark that was just over 267. And also today we came through and actually closed over the 50-day moving average that's sitting there at 269. So that says that the very short-term pattern still looks strong.
And when you talk short-term, we're talking, what, a few weeks? And does that put us into the end of July?
It tells you, you know, in a sense of days, 2-3 weeks, something like that at this point. You know, when you're working with a 7-week pattern, you know, on average, you got 3.5 up, 3.5 down. So, you know, it would suggest that the market could stay strong into somewhere around late July. With the 7-week low having bottomed there at the end of June, it would suggest somewhere around mid-August anyway, ideally, would be that next 7-week low again.
A couple of things I made of note yesterday. Both the analysts, the cash grain, and our futures analysts said the phones have been very busy. I make the assumption that means farmers are either selling corn or looking to make sales of cash corn one way or the other at this point. And maybe recalling that last year when we looked dry at this time, we're headed into August, and that there was a big bid up at that point by elevators who were thinking they might go into the fall and not have a lot of corn to buy, that they should make sales at that point. Is that the case again this year, and is it okay to make catch-up sales here?
I'm a little careful about making catch-up sales, at least yet today, considering that we closed over a couple of key technical hurdles. Now, we may have, and I would expect somewhere along the way in here, some kind of downside reaction to correct part of the gain we've had off that low here a week ago. I mean, we started that one out around 247, and we got today all the way up to 272, so we've had a pretty significant rally in not too many days. But right now, the pattern in place to me looks like we got a shot of moving December corn back up into the 280s again. We'll probably find some pretty stiff resistance up in that particular price range. And I really think as far as old crop is concerned, you're really watching what the new crop market is doing. And I think that's because of the storage profits being offered in a lot of places around the country. To me, country elevators are going to want to buy as much corn as they can at these particular prices and at these particular storage margins at this point, because it is so profitable to store cash corn.
And that's the difference between this year and last year, is that they're not really looking at the idea that they're going to be short crop. They're just looking at the carry in the marketplace.
Oh, it is. It's huge. A couple of weeks ago, and I haven't checked it this week yet or since the holidays, but a couple of weeks ago, for example, I know in northwestern Iowa you could buy cash corn, or the bids out there, the difference between a cash bid and next May futures, for example, was 95 cents. And considering next spring, if we get into something of a normal basis or somewhere in the winter, you still had a 60-cent profit margin in buying corn and storing it. And, you know, you make money at that. And certainly the elevators are in the business of storing corn and paying for the concrete and metal tanks. And so I see the commercial interests themselves, and by that I mean the country elevators, and anybody else for that matter, just looking at the spot cash market going, if I can buy it, I'm going to buy it because there's too much profit in buying it and holding on to it.
And so what do you do if you're a farmer at this point and maybe you've got old crop left, your bins, I don't know whether, let me back up. How far along are farmers, do you think, in old crop corn sales? What do they have left on the farm?
Well, you know, when you look at this, you basically step back a minute and you go, it's not how much they have left, but really, how much do they own? And I think that's the real ingredient at this point, is really how much they own. You know, in June it said on-farm stocks were still 2.5 billion bushel. Now, not necessarily, they didn't necessarily own all of that. Some of that would have been contracted for delivery already at some point in time in the rest of the summer. And I would say that, you know, it's somewhere less than 2 billion bushel that they own yet, and maybe getting down closer to, I would say to something like maybe 1.8 million or something in that particular territory there. You know, the big thing the farmer faces is, can I store it? You know, do I have the ability to store this stuff? I do know I've got one client in Iowa, for example, that's got old corn sold for a September-October delivery and did earlier in the spring because there was enough more money into it than selling it in a spot market to go ahead and carry it on through to that period of time. I don't know how much of that's out there, but I would guess that through the winter and the spring that there's a fair amount of that that's been done. So like I say, maybe 1.5 million of that is still farmer-owned. That's got to come to market some way, but the minute that comes to market, a country elevator is going to take and turn it into a storage profit. He's going to put it in his tank. He's going to hedge it out in May and July, unless relationships compared to what we see today change a lot. And I would assume by the time we get to the end of the summer then, when we're through the variable weather period, that we get into early fall, they're going to move the stuff out in temporary piles and still hang on to it because, you know, the carry in the market's too big and it's too attractive to own it rather than letting go of it unless you absolutely have to.
So the name of the game really is storage.
It really is storage, and that really is the name of the game. You know, farmers themselves, you know, because they have, you know, a certain inability to store stuff long term, you know, really are in a little bit more of a box. But as far as the market is concerned, I don't think that it's really going to have a hugely negative impact. And in fact, you know, at this point, I don't really too much pay attention to July futures nor September futures, but watching the December and beyond, because to me, they're controlling what goes on in the market.
Interesting. I did a story. I wrote the story and produced it this morning. It hasn't aired anywhere just yet. It'll be released from the Illini Farm Report, which is my site from the college, on Friday of this week. And I'll try to put the whole interview up on the WILL website a bit later on farm storage with Ted Funk, who's an ag engineer here. And he seems to think it's probably pretty simple for producers to be able to put on-farm storage as long as they have enough corn. You've got to have a lot of corn if you're going to do an outside pile, apparently. You can do short-term, maybe for a couple, 2 or 3 months, uncovered just sort of on the ground and take some losses, and that might actually pay off for some producers. And longer-term, he said, he thought you could store corn on the ground fairly indefinitely if you did it right. So I've got some numbers that we'll share on that.
If you do it right.
Yeah, the word is if you do it right. And I saw some of the numbers on what right means in terms of cost, too. So then we're talking about aeration. And
you have to do it right, especially this time of year, because you've got the weather elements that tend to work against you. You get hot, and if you get rains, and I mean, it's just a totally different environment than trying to store stuff through what farmers are used to storing it through, the colder part of the year.
Yeah, and then right also starts with cool, dry grain, so something under 14%. I suppose
right.
You would think that elevators might be interested in paying instead of docking guys for bringing in corn that's a little too dry, being and not docking them on that so much if they could store it outside for a longer term. I'll get in trouble on the air for saying that, I guess, but that's going to be the name of the game across the board. So other than storage, what are you telling your guys to do at this point? I mean, how do they take advantage of this if they don't have the ability and they need the cash flow?
If you need the cash flow, you know, you need the cash flow. There's not much that you can do about that. A standard old rule that I was told when I first came into the business 30 years ago, if somebody ever asked you, you know, hey, I need to sell some corn because I got to pay some bills in 3 weeks. You know what the standard answer is? Go sell it. You know, if you got to go sell it, you got to go sell it. There's mm-hmm. not too much you can do about it at this point. You know, maybe there's an option to turn around and re-own something on paper, but a lot of people won't pursue that at this point. And after this kind of rally, I'd say I'd tend to back off on that, but I'd certainly take a look at it, maybe try in some kind of a re-ownership program if we get a downward reaction here somewhere in the next week or two. But that's about all you can do if you got to sell it. You know, if you don't have to sell it, you know, basically you're trying to ride the coattails here of this upward turn in the 7 week cycle. And to me, you're probably saying, well, if December futures now can get up into the 280s and I know I need to sell it, then I'm looking for a spot to get sales made. And you know, when people go into the elevator and talk about selling some corn, you know, it behooves you to take a look at, oh, what are you paying today's spot? What are you paying August? What are you paying even September and maybe even early October, but certainly September, because for paying you enough premium and the corn's in good condition in the bin, why not collect that, what little storage profit may be there if it's there?
Absolutely. And then finally, before I let you go, you and Dan have been, I think, fairly long-term bulls, at least friendly to the corn market. What do you think the spread is between the high and the low in maybe the next 6 months? How much downside, how much upside potential, given a normal crop year, so that we raise 10.5 or 10.6 or something like that?
Given a normal crop year, that's a good one.
You're welcome.
Downside, I think, because of the demand base in corn, is probably somewhere 2.25-ish. Somewhere in that range. You know, last year we got down into the 180s, but a lot of that was partially repercussions of Katrina and the stoppage of shipping, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think somewhere around 2.25, we could possibly go a little bit below that. Top side, who knows? I mean, that's a wide open game, especially over the next 8 weeks. That's a real wide open game. You know, you just don't know. You know, if as long as weather isn't really harsh, I'd say somewhere short of $3. But boy, if weather turns on, pick your price on what you think the top side is.
Sure was fun, Dale. Thanks.
Bye.
Dale Durkles of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, joining us here on a Thursday afternoon.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Here's a quick look at Ed Kieser's forecast tonight. He says clear skies, lows ranging from the 50s in many rural locations to the 60s in the centers of cities. Tomorrow, sunny, high from 80 near Lake Michigan to 87 in west central and the southwestern parts of Illinois. Dave Dickey's here now with a complete look at today's agricultural news.